The following Compassion Radio program is from our vast archives and originally aired 2 years ago this month. On today's Compassion Radio.
Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't about our friends liking us and saying that at our last memorial service. It's what God has said. Well done. And well done means I have gifted you to go out and preach and lead others.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Welcome to the program, sharing the light of the gospel in some of the most remote places on earth. We are Compassion Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in today. You, friends, are in for a treat today. Our own Dr. Norm Nelson recently had the chance to spend some time amongst dear friends at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, known as the NRB, in Nashville, Tennessee. And one of those friends, who we're about to hear from, is truly a co-laborer in ministry. And boy, does she have stories. Here's Norm to make introductions.
Our guest today on Compassion Radio is a dear friend and a ministry partner through Voice of the Martyrs, one of our favorite ministries anywhere in the world. Her name is Peggy Dow, and she is a special liaison representative that we've known for years. Peggy, you have been working for many years with Voice of the Martyrs. It's one of the best ministries I know anywhere in America, anywhere in the world, for that matter. Over the many, many years, you've had an insight into the people that respond to what you do. First of all, tell the listeners what it is that you do, and then the kind of people that respond to the ministry that you have.
Well, some of the things we do, Pastor Norm, is we work with persecuted Christians around the world, and we work in about 68 countries around the world. When we work definitely with Christians that are persecuted. And there are a lot of people that could be persecuted, but we only focus in on the Christians.
Yeah.
Because that's what our focus is. And we help them in a variety of ways. We have people on the ground that look and research and make sure that we're helping a persecuted person. And then we provide for them medically. We provide for them with life packs in the Sudan. We provide for them with rice and bicycles and motorbikes. We always provide the Word of God. Always the Word of God. And even, for example, in Iraq right now, we are providing outreach packages for the Christian people, and in those outreach packages there are clothing and some supplies like books and in their language, and they are for the Christians to share with their Muslim neighbors that have had to flee.
Oh, that's so good.
That we're doing in Syria and in Iraq.
Yeah.
We do a lot of different things, and the thing is we work with other ministries. We share with other ministries. We're grateful to have other ministries work with us, but we don't use any government help.
You're built on partnerships, aren't you?
Right, a lot of times.
With indigenous churches around the world.
Right, the churches, right, and the pastors, right.
Exactly.
That's how we find out who to help.
Now, we've known each other for a long time.
Right, right.
And I admire you. I admire Voice of the Martyrs enormously. You and I, Compassion Radio and Voice of the Martyrs, tend to attract a certain kind of person from the Christian community. Maybe you could describe the person that typifies those who respond to you.
First of all, we want to share the stories of the persecuted believers with their brothers and sisters in this country. And we send out a monthly newsletter absolutely free to anybody that requests it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the people that request it and the people that read it and the people that pray, and some of them can help us, are very serious Christians.
Yeah.
They're not looking for something for themselves. They're realizing realizing that this is a serious time and they can partner with us, and we're just the point people. We're the point people to serve the Christians, and our effort and our outreach is because of Jesus. Jesus loves those people as much as he loves us.
Absolutely.
And if we're not focused in on Jesus, we're not going to be very successful as a Christian ministry.
We've been blessed in America over so many years with enormous resources. When we go to other countries and we see how they live, very often, especially the countries to which we go to minister, we can be appalled at what we see in terms of the lack of basic human needs.
Yes.
Are not filled.
Yes.
We don't have that problem to the same degree. We have it
right
in certain areas of our
right
country, and
right
we need to pay attention to that
right
and serve it. But God has blessed us with these resources. But I think we've been given these enormous resources for a better reason, a bigger reason than just indulging in our own comfort.
Absolutely.
What about that? Are we called to do something with what God has given us?
Well, we certainly are. And it says that blessed are those, you know, and who give and who suffer and who are about righteousness. And the Lord has not given us this for ourselves.
Yeah.
And one of the parables that always touched my heart was the rich man and the poor Lazarus.
Yeah.
You know, the rich man lived for himself. Mm-hmm. And then when his day was called, and there he wanted the poor Lazarus, and finally God says,
you know,
you've had it. Your brothers
right
have had it. And I always think, okay, Lord, we're not really interested in what anybody else says when we have had seen our final minutes. Yeah. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Isn't about our friends liking us and telling and saying that at our last memorial service. It's what God has said. Well done. And well done means I have gifted you to go out and preach and lead others. And so in our work and in most of your work, we're going out to support those people that yeah are standing up and saying, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father except through him.
You know, I've had the wonderful experience, and I think you have too, of knowing that the people who give to and through Compassion Radio, and I'm assuming the same is true for Voice of the Martyrs, they give, in many cases, sacrificially. And the sacrifice is not something that they say, oh, woe is me, I have to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I had that money to spend on myself. They give with joy.
Right.
They have a sense of calling.
Yes, yes.
This material wealth I have
yes
is intended to help those people or that cause
yes
or whatever, and they give it with joy. What about this? Is this the same experience that you have at Voice of the Martyrs?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have stories of people that have very little,
mm-hmm,
even children, that would say, I'm not going to have a bicycle because I want to give to Nigerian widows, whatever the call
yeah
is.
Yeah.
Or I always say, I've got to be careful myself how I am using our donors' money, because
yeah
I want to make sure that I'm not wasting it. And
oh
we have, of course we have some people that can afford more. You know,
mm-hmm,
we all do. America's richly blessed.
Sure.
But we have a lot of people. I think that we have, as a average giving, I don't know if I should say this or not, about $300 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that isn't, you know, that's a lot for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But in the terms of what America has, it's not a lot,
mm-hmm,
you know. And people, but it's sacrificial because a lot of people come and volunteer at Voice of the Martyrs, and they might bring six children and volunteer, and they drive there, and we put them up. We have nice housing for them,
mm-hmm,
but we don't pay them anything. They come and volunteer because
yeah
they have a heart that
yeah
they can do something.
Yeah. A number of studies have been done over a lot of years about the demographics of giving
mm-hmm
to charitable organizations or to missions.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that's always been surprising to me is that those who come from the upper crust, the top level, you know, the cream that's risen to the top.
Right.
In terms of personal wealth, the giving that comes from that slice of the American public and the American church is much lower in terms of the percentages involved than that which comes from the lower slice.
Right. It is interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
In terms of denominational identification.
Right.
And apart from that, all of it, all of these studies tend to prove that.
Right.
And it's a very interesting thing because, you know, if wealthy people want to give to your ministry, you'll take it. God will bless that. But very often people give who have very little, and maybe they write and they say, we hear this all the time, I'm a poor widow, or I'm on Social Security, that's all I have, and I sent you this check because I received, you know, whatever, over and above that. Or maybe here's a slice of the very small income that I have to live on, and that is given with great, great sacrifice, but also with great joy.
The widow.
The widow, exactly.
The widow, her last bit she gave.
I have always had a hard time with the philosophy that says we need to do studies of people and find out who has the money and how we should organize or express our appeals for funds based on what we know about these people. I reject that. I don't like that. It seems very intrusive.
No, we need to present, and if people want to respond for the power of the Holy Spirit, that's who we need.
You know, Peggy, before we went on the air, you were talking about, as I recall, it had something that came from the Gospel of John. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but
John 15 and John 16, one of them said that they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. I always think about that. And the other one is, in this life, you will have tribulation.
Yeah.
You know, and so when I have personal tribulation, I say to myself, this isn't the promised land. This is what I have to do to be faithful until he calls me, because he has so much better for me. And I see that in the people that we serve. Oh, my goodness, do I see that. They encourage me because I see the power of the Holy Spirit filling them with so much joy and so much boldness to stand firm that they're not going to deny Christ. And I have one man, may I share this story to you?
Oh, please do.
About a year and a half ago, in the fall of 2013, in October, we had some meetings in Colorado Springs of all the Voice of the Martyrs around the world. I had the privilege of meeting a man from Nigeria. His name is Habila. Habila was living in a village called a Christian village in Nigeria, and the Boko Haram came into that village, came into about 20 homes, and pushed it through their way through. They had AK-47s, and they asked every man in the home if they were a Christian. Of course they were. Then they said, you're not following the true God. You deny Christ. You accept Allah, or we'll shoot you with this AK-47. Not one of them would deny Christ. Everyone is shot in the head. Habila was shot here. It blew out his face there, right in front of his wife and his little boy. And, of course, they were hysterical.
Yeah.
And Habila didn't die. He laid on that floor for 8 hours because Boko Haram was terrorizing the village. And so, finally, the wife could get some help when they left. And Voice of the Martyrs has medical outreach, and we were able to get him help and rehabilitate him. And a long story, miracles, he got to come to the United States. I was able to take him to Congress, to a few people in Congress, and I'm not going to tell all the details, but I will say this. The State Department, the United States State Department, would not declare Boko Haram a terrorist group till they heard his testimony. And then they finally declared it.
They did it?
They did it. Now, that's a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Oh, my.
Habila, a humble man, was willing to say, I will live for Christ and I will die for Christ, if that's what it takes. The disciple following Jesus. It was such a humbling experience. And we've all met, well, not all of us, but we've met many different situations, you know, like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sharon and I, at this convention where we are now recording this interview, met a man in the line for lunch yesterday. He was alone, so we said, well, come and join us. He was from Orange County, California, where our ministry is located. We sat down together. Turns out that he's a rather well-to-do businessman. But in the course of his hearing what we do, reading a little bit of our propaganda, you know, from Compassion Radio, he ended up making this statement. He has all of this money. He has all of this influence. He loves his work so much that he's 80 years old, and he's still going strong. Can't retire. Won't retire. Don't blame him. But he said to us, we don't believe, by the way, that he is a Christian. But he said to us, Norman, Cher, what a wonderful way to live that you have.
Wow.
We don't have his resources anywhere near it. But he was, in a very real sense, expressing a kind of almost envy.
Yes, yes.
About the way we live. And he loves what he does. But something inside of him has not yet been filled.
Well,
and my goodness, I think there is in all of us, and maybe entertain this thought, maybe in the members of Boko Haram, with all of their killing, all of their violence, and so forth, there is a hunger being expressed in a manner that is violent and evil. But perhaps at the root of that is a spiritual void that needs to be filled by Jesus.
Yes.
And could put them at rest, at peace in their own inner soul.
I met a man in a Colombian prison called Bella Vista, and it's a, it was a in Medellin, Colombia. It was a very violent prison. It used to be. Prison Fellowship came in. But this young man, 28 years old, he was in prison because he had killed four. He had been in the FARC guerrillas since he was 13.
F-A-R-C. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, and he came in, and I could see on his face Jesus. And he had come in as a killer, and they were they're very vicious. And he said that he, his God was guns, women, and money. And he, at 13, and he went to, he did all this terrible stuff. He got caught. He's in this prison. He has 100 and some years in prison. He went to a prayer gathering, and he thought he could escape, and he didn't. And all the different prisoners are in different groups with their different guerrillas, like the FARC are here and the paramilitary are here, because they kill each other in prison. And so anyway, he went to the next one because he's still trying to escape. And the power of the Holy Spirit came on him. And he said yes to Jesus. When I met him in this little room of a few of the believers, he said, I am more free today than I ever was. And I may die in here, but I am free. It was a thrilling experience.
Oh, my goodness. This is what motivates you, isn't it? And the work of Voice of the Martyrs.
To meet these people.
Yeah, to
and
meet these
too.
People. That's right.
Yeah.
Peggy, what we've been talking about today, these stories of amazing Christians, as we would describe them, I'm concerned that perhaps listeners being engaged by this presentation are thinking, oh, well, that's for them. That's for them. They're special. I'm not. That's not true, is it?
Oh, absolutely not.
What we're talking about, this is available to those who are watching or listening right now.
Right, right.
Speak to that, would you?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, as I had briefly mentioned, Voice of the Martyr sends out a monthly newsletter. That's all we send out, no letters or anything else. Monthly newsletter highlighting little bit of the stories of the people that we work with overseas. Mm-hmm. People can call us, and they are able to sign up for the newsletter. It's absolutely free. We have opportunities for people. We present opportunities for people to adopt a worker overseas. We have opportunities for people, of course, to pray. We have prayer maps. We highlight where it is. We can send out, I commit to pray on your email, and you can find somebody to pray for every day or every week. We have opportunities for people to even come to Bartlesville and to volunteer, and we put you up. So we have opportunities on our web to write to prisoners, and you can write to prisoners right from your home. Mm-hmm. So there's a myriad of ways to get involved, and we have a website, persecution.com, and that will give you all kinds of things as well.
That's easy to remember. Persecution.com.
Yes.
What I want to say is, listeners, they can do this.
Right.
They can do this kind of thing. God has opportunities all over the place.
He does.
Voice of the Martyrs, Compassion Radio, we are entry points so that this can happen. They can do the same kind of thing. And it's exciting to know that these opportunities are available.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you shared that.
That's Aren't really, these great stories?
Yes, yes. Yes.
They really are.
Yes. We're not looking for limelight.
Yeah.
We're looking for the Holy Spirit's leading.
Yeah, that's good. You're not looking for limelight. You're looking for leading, the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
That's a wonderful note on which I think to close our conversation. Peggy Dow, it's been absolutely wonderful to have you on Compassion Radio. You're a dear friend, and we're friends of Voice of the Martyrs. We look forward to working together with you, and it's exciting to think that our listeners are getting a sense of the real heart, the deep down heart of this marvelous ministry, headquartered in Oklahoma, but with an impact everywhere, all over the world.
May I say one last thing to you?
Yes, you may.
Pastor Norm, I'm blessed to be here. And there's the last verse in Psalm 90, I like to pray for people, and it says, may the glory of the Lord continue to be on you, and may he bless the work of your hands and compassion's hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you
so much.
Yes, thank you.
May God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Okay.
Friends, I wanted to bring attention to our special premium offer this month. It's our gift to you for your gift of any size to support the Ministry of Compassion Radio. And this being our anniversary month, we definitely need to see people step up and help us begin that process of planning for great new projects and great new ministry all around the world. So we need you, friends. And this special book called The Case for Easter is a blockbuster in a lot of ways. It's not a hard read. In fact, it's a fairly slim little volume, but it's going to bring a very powerful argument for the power and the reality of the resurrection, especially at a time of year where people are open to discuss these kind of topics.
I'm excited to read this book myself because of our recent trip to Orlando, Florida for the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, where they showed the movie A Case for Christ, which is the story of Lee Strobel's search for Christ and the reality of who he was, trying to disprove him, actually, but coming to the realization that Jesus Christ was, in fact, a real person. He died and rose again for him. And watching that film brought about a lot of emotion for me. It was a very beautiful film. It was very real and honest. I loved it. I really hope that our listeners will make an effort to go and see this film when it comes out.
And it's going to be talked about a lot in the media in the weeks to come. Now, I've got to say that I've not been a real fan of Christian films over the years, but they've improved greatly in the past 2 or 3 years. Now, this film, my friends, is on par with the finest dramas you've seen out of Hollywood ever.
Absolutely.
I'm really stunned about the quality of the acting and of the directing of this film. It is genuine, it is heartfelt, and it's going to make a big impact. Now, this book, again, it's an excerpt from the investigation that Lee Strobel did into the reality of the resurrection. And this little pamphlet is going to be something you're going to want to have in hand leading up to Easter, especially when questions come up from friends or family who go to see this film.
You're going to want to have this pamphlet in your hands to give out to friends of yours or people that you know that are questioning the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. Lee Strobel, as Bram said, has done an amazing job of investigative journalism into the truths of Jesus' death and resurrection.
As we prepare for Easter being April 16th this year, we wanted to make sure to get this in your hands in time for the release of the film and for the Easter season coming up. So friends, please, as you support Compassion Radio this month, we'd love to send you a copy of this book by Lee Strobel, The Case for Easter. So order yours today.
Thank you, Bram and Sandy Floria. Reach us by phone by calling 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. By mail at Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're always there for you online at CompassionRadio.com. You can give there safe and secure. CompassionRadio.com. And that phone number once more, 1-800-868-2478. On behalf of Bram Floria, Norman Cher Nelson, and the Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. I trust you enjoyed today's program from the archives, and we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.